Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Now stop humming, it's everything that changed. That Warped Tour made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name.
Remember the name.
Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Stop humming intros always. Cause this is America's game.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 32. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And we are continuing running back month this week, and we have Koopa with us to talk about running back warp. What's up, Koopa?
It's going great. I'm excited to talk about running backs because it is the first position that we're going to talk about where the strategy really changes between lineup and best ball, between how many starters that you have. Quarterbacks, we talked about that a month ago of like, hey, you still want to have good the top tier quarterbacks, whether you're in lineup or you're in best ball. But running back, it really changes around a lot what sort of players that you want on your team.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of different types of leagues, different types of settings, both leagues me and Koopa are in. So we're going to go through that. But before we go start with that, we'll talk a little bit about the combine. It just finished up. What did you think overall of the combine? What did you think of like this fantasy offensive class so far?
I am really excited for a lot of the we have so many good receivers and so many good quarterbacks that are in this class. It's kind of fitting a little bit that we're talking about running back month here in terms of that the running backs aren't as good this time around. So a lot of these veteran names that we can talk about from the past are probably still going to be relevant this coming year. There's not any of those blue chip prospects where it's like, hey, this guy, he's going to come in and he's going to completely take over the backfield like we've had the past couple of years. So I really like to see, though, all those quarterbacks, all those receivers, the fact that there wasn't anybody, with the exception of like Keon Coleman, where I was like blown away in a negative sense. Keon with that really slow 40 time, like it's going to make a lot of people question him, probably hurt his draft stock. But just about everyone else that is supposed to be going in the first two rounds either maintained their stock or shot it up from the combine, which you really like to see just as a fan of players getting the draft stock that you want them to, players getting the recognition that you feel like they should. I always like to see guys going up.
Yeah. With Keon, it's interesting that you brought him up because, like, he had like one of the fastest miles per hour at the thing too. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how much that's going to translate. I haven't really dug too much into the wide receivers, but he is one of the ones I'm definitely interested in checking out a little bit more. I just think at his size and that, like, I'm not, like, too scared off of his 40. Like, I'll still draft him. Sure, though, I wish he was, like, in the 4-5s, sure, but, still a good player. I'm not going to completely rule him out or anything, so.
It's just one of those things that makes you want to go back and take a second look. And it's something with all these 40 times. Xavier Worthy got a 4.21, broke the combine record. That doesn't mean he's now the best wide receiver. And realistically, it shouldn't change too much about him from where you were beforehand, because we knew he was fast.
Right.
It's just, exactly. Okay, now he's just the fastest guy that has ever ran at the combine. Okay, maybe that bumps him up a little bit, but it doesn't vault him. It should not vault him up a tier of wide receivers.
Yes.
It should make him be like, okay, I can move him up towards the higher end of the tier that he's a part of.
Mm-hmm. And you, like, you don't give somebody a double negative. Like, we already knew Worthy was fast, so we're not going to give him double points for being, you know, the fastest ever. Same goes for Audric Estime for the Notre Dame. Like, he was slow, but we already knew he was kind of slow. He's a bigger back. Like, I'm not going to completely say, oh, no, I'm not drafting him now. Like, I expected him to be in, like, the high 4.5s, 4.6s, and that's where he was at. I think 4.6-something. And he's a bigger back. He's, like, in the 220s. And if you watch him on film, like, he's got good burst, but he doesn't have long speed. Like, I'm not going to double negative him for that, you know, give him two knocks just because, oh, it 4.7, 40 or whatever he ran. So it goes both ways. And it's kind of like, you know, the last couple draft classes have made me really think about that stuff. So on one hand, with the smaller guys like Devin Achane, stuff like that, you look at him and you're like, oh, I'm not taking him. He's too small. Nobody's ever done it at this position. And I fell into that trap too. Like, I believed it, like everyone's talking about. And my opinion has completely changed that. Like, the size thing, Keaton Mitchell's another one. Size, like, yeah, it matters. But, like, when you're good, you're good. On tape, Kyren Williams, he was good on tape. Everyone put fucking shovelfuls of dirt on him after his combine. And now look at him. He's a RB, you know, 7 in Dynasty. So that's another guy. Like, you just don't put everything into the combine. Yes, you know, some of that stuff matters, but not all of it matters. So if you can play, you can play. Kyren Williams has proven that. Like I said, everyone put shovelfuls of dirt on him, so...
But where you should really be looking at the combine numbers is confirming what kind of back you think somebody is.
Right.
Which is then going to become even more important with the team that they get drafted to. Do you think they're a good fit for their scheme? Do you think that they're a good fit for the other backs that are already there in that backfield? Because I don't think there are any prospects this year that you expect to go in and completely take it over and not be splitting time with somebody else. So right. It's going to be a matter of, okay, well, based on this prospect's, the kind of back they are and the kind of back that is currently the number one in that backfield, do you think that they can become a 1A, 1B situation? Do you think that or do you think it's going to be more of a 1 and a 2? Or even potentially, hey, this guy is just straight up the backup for the number one guy. Like that's the kind of thing that you have to pay attention to. But if you have your rookie drafts before the NFL draft, good luck guessing any of that. Yeah, but right. For everyone that has them after the NFL draft, that's the kind of stuff that you should really be looking at.
Yeah. And then another thing that you mentioned too about this running back class, I agree with you that there's no like Breece Hall, there's no Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson. I agree with that. But I actually do really like this running back class. Now, all of them are going to be in a committee. And guess what? 95% of the NFL teams are committees now. There's very, very few guys that are just the guy and that's it. So all these guys have potentials to fit into a lot of offenses. And like I said, there's multiple guys that I really like in this draft. Just kind of pulling up my rankings here really quick for the rookies that I've gone through so far. I changed my stuff a little bit after the combine, but I have five guys in my tier one right now, and I think they're all were all could be potential guys that are the first running back off the board, and that's Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, who was awesome at the combine, Blake Corum had a great combine, Jalen Wright had a great combine, and Marshawn Lloyd had a really good combine too. So like all five of those guys I'm very interested in. My tier two, Bucky Irving, Braylon Allen, Ray Davis, I'm very interested in all those guys still. Bucky Irving didn't have the greatest combine. He wasn't super fast, but I didn't really think he was that fast anyways. I kind of thought he was, really shifty, kind of like Devin Singletary was when he came out. That was one of the comparisons they gave him. And then, you know, just going on down through from 9 through 20 here on my list are all guys that I think can contribute in the NFL. Like there's pass catchers, there's bruisers like Audric Estime, there's speed demons like Amani Bailey and some other guys out here. So, the running back class is definitely really intriguing to me. So I'm going to be in my leagues where I need some running backs, my second, third, fourth, fifth round picks. I'm going to be interested to get some running backs.
I think it's important to have the perspective that you are not going to replace somebody on your team like a Derrick Henry, like a Saquon Barkley, like a Josh Jacobs. Like those guys are not going to be that, you're not going to replace that kind of fantasy production on your team. What you're going to be able to replace is the guys that split a little more, like your Jalen Warrens, your Najee Harris, your I would say like your Raheem Mostert, except for that, I mean, Miami is just so good at running the ball that Raheem Mostert still did really well even when he was in a split backfield. And so like you have to just be aware of what level these prospects are. They're going to be good for giving you that running back depth that you're potentially searching for. They just aren't going to be that absolute top tier guy that's going to fit into your lineup and really be that difference maker for you.
Right. And then one more quick thing I wanted to bring up is if you look at anybody's running back ranks for the rookies this year and you tell me, hey, I have Braylon Allen is my RB1, awesome. I'm not going to fight you on it because literally I don't think anybody has a clue of what the right RB rankings are for this one. It is so like absolutely wide open. I don't remember a year that it was like this in quite a while. So, you know, I'm going to listen to everybody's RB ranks and their RB takes. And if somebody has, you know, Will Shipley RB1 or Ray Davis RB1, I'm not going to fault you for it because I have no clue either. It's really hard to kind of pick who the RB1 or 2 is. Just kind of watching some highlights and films on these guys, I've kind of made my own decisions, just kind of backs that I've seen be successful in the NFL and what it looks like. I'm usually a pretty good tell on that. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt of where everybody has their running back ranks, but I think it's going to be all over the place. And I think when it comes draft day and everyone thinks, oh, Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson, they're going to be.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The first two guys off the board, and then they're like RB7 and 8. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, so. I think that's a real good point, too, of just it's so wide open that nobody knows what's going to happen. Like it just about anybody could be right. If you just were to draw a running back out of the hat and say, this is the best guy. Like there's so many different styles of running back. They are all in terms of overall strength of like as an individual player, I'd say they're all about equal. And so that's something that we have to account for as well in fantasy. Like, okay, we can get a bunch of these guys in the second and third round. Well, it's better to get a bunch of them rather than to only get a few. Like, give yourself a ton of dart throws at these guys. The ones that that if you need to trade up for to make sure that you get the top tier players, that's the wide receiver position and the quarterback position this year. That's what you're going to, that's what you should be trading up for. Running backs, you just want to take as many of them as possible.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, so let's go ahead and we're going to jump into the running back warp here. I'm going to pull up the warp tool here for anybody that's watching on YouTube. Okay, so we have that. I am going to pull up one of my MFL leagues, which is going to be the first one we're going to go over. And 48374 is the league ID. Okay, then we're going to calculate the warp. So this is a standard league. So yes, they still make standard leagues. This is the only standard league I'm in. So no point per carry, no PPR, anything like that. So this is just your regular standard league with just yards and touchdowns. This is start 18 because it has IDPs in it. So we'll kind of look at the warp here for what like a standard league would look like for anybody that's still playing in some standard leagues once this goes ahead and fires up.
Yeah, the one thing about the MFL with the warp tool is it takes a little longer to calculate for that just because of how the MFL APIs work and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, and like I said, this has IDP in it too. Is that going to affect it and make it?
It's not going to affect the relative positions for the offensive okay. players. What it will do is it will reduce the raw number. And so that's why when we did this show a month ago, I mentioned how, hey, don't necessarily pay attention to the raw number that is in front of any given position. You want to pay attention to the relative of between each position. So as we're looking here, like we can see that no position is up at above even the 2.0 mark. And and the reason for that is, hey, we want to make sure that we're giving some credit to those defensive players. And we're talking wins over replacement player. So the total number of wins is going to be capped. You can't get additional wins because you only have in this case, we're calculating 17 weeks. Like you can't accumulate possibly more than 17 total. And so when you're talking about, okay, these different positions, it has to get split up more when there are more of them. But so, when we're looking at just the offensive players, we're going to see here that, okay, all of these are relative. If you have an identical league to this just without defense, all that's going to change is that the scale on the left is going to be more. Everything else will stay the same.
Okay. So just looking at the running backs here, like they're pretty king in this league. Wide receivers are just a step below, but the running backs here are definitely king. So like if you're looking at, obviously, any of these warp ones that we're going to look at today, Christian McCaffrey is going to be way up here compared to everybody else. But, you know, Raheem Mostert, Travis Etienne's up there, Kyren Williams, Derrick Henry. So it's a lot of the, you know, obviously the touchdown scores. You know, Raheem Mostert scored a bunch of touchdowns this year. Etienne had some touchdowns. Derrick Henry's a touchdown guy. Rashad White wasn't really a huge touchdown guy this year, but he had some. Mixon had touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs had a bunch of touchdowns. Breece Hall. So, you know, a lot of those type of players will be up there. And you're still getting, you know, James Cook's up here. So a lot of the guys that still did receiving work still matter. It's just you're not getting the point per reception off of them, but receivers aren't getting them either. So that's why the running backs are a tad higher here.
Yeah, and so one thing that I have noticed looking through a lot of these leagues when you're talking about especially standard without any sort of PPR or anything like that, is that the running backs are going to, in general, be the highest valued position. Unless you're inserting super flex into the equation and things like that, the running back is still king. And yeah. So the things that if you've been playing fantasy for like 20 years and you started out in redraft leagues like I did, you still want to end up going for running backs as the as your top choice. But as time has changed, we've started to play in a lot more leagues where the running backs are not valued as much, whether that's because we have PPR, whether that's because it's super flex, whether that we're inserting tight end premium, all of those settings. What's the one commonality? They're helping other positions. They aren't helping the running backs. And right. So you need to account for that by going through and being like, okay, let's, in a standard league, we still have the running backs that are king, and you have to remember that. And don't get lost into the new wave of, oh, you should be taking wide receivers at the beginning of a first round in a redraft league, or that you should be focusing a ton only into the wide receiver position in a dynasty league, is because in a standard league, you still need those top tier running backs because they are going to give you that warp advantage.
Yeah, and then just kind of looking at a warp per game, it's the same thing here. I mean, running backs are constantly, you know, McCaffrey is a 0.14 and Tyreek Hill is a 0.118. So, you know, 0.3 ahead of Tyreek Hill here. So as you keep going down and down and down, the running backs, you know, are usually a tick above their counterpart, basically at RB7 or wide receiver 6, or, you know, stuff like that. Kind of just look at Jahmyr Gibbs, 0.09. Tank Dell was 0.08. So pretty much, you know, running backs are king in standard leagues, which we kind of figured, but we just wanted to go over the running backs in these leagues first and kind of show you what a standard league would look like.
And one thing I want to point out while we're here talking about the running backs, so this is the reason that I ended up deciding to make an A warp per game for lineup leagues especially. So if we look at how many running backs are above their equivalent wide receiver position, we see that running back 1 all the way to running back, that's going to be running back 46, is where the running back is above the wide receiver. But if we look at the full A warp for the full season, that number is way less. So it switch us over to that, to the A warp tab for me, so we can see what,
which one again? I'm sorry,
left one.
The graph.
The graph. Yeah. So we see here the running backs are above the wide receivers only until running back 26, and then they fall into lockstep. Yep. And so. And so as we're going through, okay, how many running backs and receivers do you want on your team? That's where we can start talking about, okay, these backups come in and they produce. These guys that only appear for a couple weeks, maybe they're somebody stuck in a timeshare, maybe they're somebody that's just the straight replacement for somebody that can get hurt. When those guys come in and are there for the week, we know to start them, and when we do, it works out well for us. Right. Wide receiver is a much harder position to do that at. And so you tend to find that wide receiver does much better when you're looking at a season-long perspective, if you're starting a wide receiver every single week. And so what we want to recognize is that running back is one of those positions that you want to have lots of backups for. Mm-hmm. And so we've talked lots about roster construction. Scott Connor has talked a ton about like the any running back on a 53 strategy and how he's evolved it into not quite an every running back on a 53, but any running back that you can see you'd wanting to start in your starting lineup. I don't think he's found a great phrase for that sort of idea yet. But having this sort of thing where hey, I want to have a ton of these backup running backs because I can insert them in and they can make a difference. You can see that in the actual warp charts themselves as well. And okay. That's what the A warp per game shows you is, hey, I want to have these additional backup running backs on my team because they are inserting themselves in and making a difference. Plus, I know when to start them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I want to move on now to just a standard PPR league, start 12 in a lineup league. So once that fires up here, we will take a look at that one. So obviously adding in the PPR for everybody, the receivers, running backs and whatnot, it's definitely going to change, you know, wide receivers are probably going to flip flop with the running backs basically, of who's more valuable. So, once we pop that up here, we will take a look at that. Any other things that you would notice from a PPR league, from a standard league, basically?
It might also change a little bit of which running backs are the top guys, or at least push themselves into a higher tier. So when we were looking at the standard leagues, you can see that how quickly the fall off is, because
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In our modern era of running backs in the NFL, we don't have many of those guys that get a ton of carries and just absolutely dominate. Mm-hmm. And so what we instead have when you have a PPR league is that you kind of shove up a few more guys into that range. The guys that are maybe, instead of getting consistently 20 carries a game, are getting 13, but are also getting 3 catches. Those guys are now going to push themselves up into that same realm. And so you're going to see a little bit of a larger top here before it starts to get into more of a flat range at running back.
Right. And then this is also a 2 PPR league, so that's why the tight ends look a little higher here. I'm going to pull them out for now. But this is a super flex league, you know, pretty standard, just standard PPR, other than the tight ends there. So, as you can see, the running backs and wide receivers basically flipped here. And then obviously with the super flex, quarterbacks are going to be valued a little bit more compared to the running backs. But if we look at some of the names here, like you were mentioning, ETN was up here, Kyren's up here, Breece Hall, he had a huge PPR season. He had like 76 catches. He moved up to RB5 here. Rashad White had a good PPR season. Jahmyr Gibbs had a good PPR season. Mixon was decent. Kamara, obviously, always a PPR guy. Derrick Henry, he was more up here where Breece Hall and Gibbs and White were. And now you look at him and he's RB10 now in the PPR rankings. Saquon's up here. James Cook moved up here. Pacheco, Bijan Robinson. So we have all those types of guys up here in a standard PPR league. And like I was talking about, the receivers basically flip-flopped and took over as the king in this league. So you see, with there's no like point per carries or point per first down, it's just straight PPR, I'm always going to value the wide receivers more than the running backs.
Yes, and especially when you start talking about dynasty. Now that the wide receivers are dominating over the running backs, not only do the wide receivers score you more points, they also last longer in the NFL. And right. So as a result, you want to invest much more heavily into the wide receivers. And so your running backs, you start really getting into can I get away with a hero RB strat where you only have one good guy and then you're just tossing in whatever backup in for that week? Or can you get away with a zero RB strat where you don't have anyone good, you just have a ton of backups and you're hoping you fill enough over the course of the season? Mm-hmm. Like, you can start to do that a lot more in a PPR league because everything else around the running backs has been boosted, which makes the value of running backs much less.
Right, right. And then we'll take a look at the A warp per game graph here as well on these guys. Take the tight ends out. And it actually brings up the running backs pretty closer to wide receivers if you look at it as an A warp per game. So that's interesting. Why is that showing it that way?
Because in a similar vein, where in the standard league, we saw that the number of running backs that were above the wide receiver line got pushed up because we were having those guys that come in, you know when to start them, you know when they're going to do well. You see the same thing in any sort of AWARP per game when you're looking at a lineup league. The running back line is going to get raised up. Okay. And that's just because if you start looking down the list, you're going to see a bunch of backups in there. You're going to see...
Mostert, Kamara...
White. Here's a Zamir White.
So you got a Zamir White in there. You'll
Taylor Montgomery
looking
Cook,
as well.
Brian Robinson, Bijan, Pollard, A-Chain, Jacobs, Ken Walker, Connor.
So as you push a bunch of these backups up into the range where, hey, they're giving you something good for a week or two.
Right.
And a week or two is going to be very helpful in terms of the per game stat, because we're only looking at a sample size of 1 or 2 weeks. But when you look at the AWARP graph tab, that is doing the entire season.
Right.
And so those running backs that only played for two games, they're going to be way down low. And the running backs that played for 14 games because they missed 3 weeks because they were hurt, well, those guys also aren't going to be up as high because they missed 3 games.
Right.
It's much more likely for a wide receiver to play all 17 games or at least have those explosive weeks that even if they miss a couple, they're making up that higher warp value.
Right.
And so a warp per game just brings in more total numbers of players, which kind of pushes up that running back line a little bit. And so then you don't see as much of a difference, but even so, in your standard PPR league, we still see that the running back line is below the wide receiver line. Right. And so that is a big sign of, yes, you still want to invest in the wide receivers to have the most impact on your team. Mm-hmm. I have seen leagues before where in the full AWARP, it looks like, oh, the running back is ever so slightly below the wide receiver. But then when you go to AWARP per game, now the running back line is above the wide receiver line.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happens, that would be a scenario where, okay, I want to invest a little bit more into my running back position, and especially in having a lot of these backup type players that I know are going to do well, or maybe they aren't going to be guys that aren't going to be as solidified in their room, because I'm going to know when to start them.
Right.
And that's the important thing to understand about running backs and lineup leagues. Running back and quarterback, you know the most on a week-to-week basis of when to start them. The wide receivers and tight ends, they're highly variable. And so what you're going to want to be doing at those positions is starting the same guy every single week. Whereas running back and quarterback, you can kind of rotate them around, especially if you when you don't have the top-tier assets, and you can do really well predicting that as a fantasy manager.
Right. Okay. All right, so we're going to switch over now. We're going to take a look at a best ball league, and we're going to start adding in some more different settings that we can look at. So this is a league that both me and Cooper are in that drafted this off season. So let's calculate the warp on that one. And this one is a start 11 league. You get 0.5 for first down for rushing and receiving. It is 0.25 per carry. And it is a 1 point for PPR. And it's a best ball league. So this is our first best ball league that we're going to take a look at here. Take these tight ends off for now. As you can see, this running backs and wide receivers are pretty dead even here. So you can kind of go either way on them. Well, I'm looking at the AWARP per game graph on that one. But even still, if you look at the regular AWARP graph, they're pretty neck and neck here.
And so so you'll see, especially in best ball leagues, that they're going to be much closer for both of them. And that's just because when you're talking about the number of running backs that have the potential to make a lineup, are you actually capturing the warp? You're and same thing with the wide receivers. You're going because it's best ball, you have your full roster.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a lineup league, you don't have, you're only starting however many are in your starting lineup.
Right.
And the reason I utilize A-Warp is because it is a method of figuring out, okay, did you actually play this player that week? So an example of that would be, last season, Zamir White, he took over for Josh Jacobs when he got injured. That first game where Zamir White appeared, nobody started him because he went into the week thinking Josh Jacobs was going to be the starting running back and that Zamir White wasn't going to get anything. And so the way A-Warp works is it does not count that week for Zamir White, and it does not hurt him for any of the other weeks of the season in which he did not appear. In a full warp calculation, what would have happened was Zamir White would have gotten negative warp for every single week because he was doing almost nothing because Josh Jacobs was being the dominant back. And then that would have affected his per game statistics. So when we come into best ball, the reason it's important to understand how all that works is now in best ball, you're likely going to be accounting for the fact that you have Zamir White on your roster. And so those number of games that he's rostered on your team, they are going to count against him in that A warp per game statistic. The only difference is because it's best ball, you can't get negative warp. No player can hurt your team because if they're worse than the replacement player, well, the replacement player is going to replace them into your lineup. And so that you don't get the negative value. So in terms of for best ball, it is much better to have a running back who is consistently on the field and consistently doing well. And so that kind of changes our strategy a little bit in how we're trying to roster construct. Whereas in the previous two lineup leagues that we were talking about, like we talked about the strategy of having a bunch of those running back on a 53 types where, hey, if you're going to know when to start them, you're going to know when the starter's hurt. In a best ball league, you're giving yourself a bunch of zeros on your bench. And so I tend to like to focus a lot more on, can I get everyone who is either a stud on the team or is part of a committee backfield?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't want to invest a lot of my, especially my roster spots, into these backup running backs, unless I know it's the kind of guy that, hey, the starter goes down, this guy is just slotting in right as the replacement, kind of like Alexander Madison used to do for Dalvin Cook, or Zamir White did for Josh Jacobs last year. Like, those are the kinds of guys that I want, that I would potentially roster. But even then, as it gets closer to playoffs, like if I'm getting to playoff weeks, I'm going to try and either sell those guys for like something small, like a fourth round pick or fab or literally anything, and replace that roster spot with something highly volatile. So something like a wide receiver or tight end that has much more of a chance of entering my lineup.
Right. Another one that comes to mind that probably in like a lineup league, not a lot of people started was Achane's first game, that 50 point game against Denver. Not a lot of people had him in those games unless you had him in best ball. So
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17 point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yep.
That's another one that comes to mind for me.
And so that game from Achane is going to be accounted for in your best ball warp because he was likely on your roster. But in terms of your A warp, as Eric said, it's not going to be counted in your lineup league. And so you have to, that's just something that you have to be aware of. And that's why we we don't see this running back line changing very much between a warp and a warp per game in a best ball league compared to when we're in a lineup league. We see those that running back line get boosted up all the time.
Right. And then if you kind of look two up at the top here, obviously McCaffrey's one. Flip-flopping two and three is Kyron's number two in this, and Raheem Mostert is three in this one. So adding in all these extra first down bonuses, the PPR, all that stuff, Kyron Williams flip-flops over Raheem Mostert in this one. Most of the other guys are pretty standard. Like, there may be a flip-flop one or two here, but not too many. Like Saquon's up here a little bit more. I'm guessing that has to do more with first down since he was the only one even getting first downs for that team this year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's all fairly similar. Like, they're just valued more, you know, along with these wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I bring up the wide receivers here, and you can see like running back line is pretty much right above them in most spots. Obviously, the four stud receivers at the top, Keenan Allen, Amon-Ra, CD, Tyreek Hill, those guys had monster seasons. They're above most of these running backs. And then from RB5 all the way down to about RB23, running back is just slightly ahead of the wide receivers. And then they pretty much collide here, and then the wide receivers take over instead of over these backup running back types.
And so what you're going to see out of this as well is that running back is pretty flat until you start getting into the running back like 30 to 36 range.
Wow.
And then it starts to fall off. So that's something that when you are choosing your running backs on your fantasy team, you want to have as many guys in that top 30 range. Or keep in mind that this does it be, we're looking at full season statistics. So all those running backs that went down halfway through the year, like those are guys that could have been top 30 running backs and that you just missed out on.
Yeah, so like Aaron Jones is way back here at RB 34, Javonte Williams 33, Zeke came in halfway through the year, RB 35, so yeah.
So I like to stretch that number out a little bit and say, okay, I can probably live with any running back as long as I see them as a top 40 running back. Mm-hmm. And so I want to have as many guys into that top 40 range as I possibly can. And I don't want to reduce the number outside of that range unless they're that really high value backup, because I want to make sure that these guys are in fact getting points in my lineup. And so if we look at the roster construction tab, and it's probably going to tell us we need like 8 running backs or something like that.
Yeah. 7.5.
Yeah, so 7.5 running back. So I want to get 7 or 8 guys that are all in that top 40 range in my ideal world, just of having as many running backs as possible. And that's something that you have to play with week over week. If you are competing in a best ball league, if you have trading open, you need to be willing to go, okay, this running back is hurt. I need to immediately get rid of him and replace him with somebody else to stay in that top 40 roster construction sort of thing. It's fine to maybe go, all right, you know what? I'm at 8 running backs. One guy's hurt right now, but he'll be back in 2 weeks. All right, I'm fine holding on to that guy for 2 weeks. You're eating the zero for 2 weeks, but you're going to get him back and he's going to be good for you the rest of the season. But those guys that go down and they're going to be out for 6 weeks, they're going to be out for 2 months, the rest of the season, those guys need to get off of your team immediately, and you have to replace them with somebody else who is in that top 40 range.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead. We'll move off of this league. We'll go to another one of my leagues that I am in. Calculate the warp on this one. So this one is a lineup league, start 12. It has a 0.1 first downs, 0.25 per carry, and a regular 1 PPR league. So take the quarter or the tight ends out here. So as you can see in this one, with the standard PPR, and you get the point for first down and the point per carries, the running backs are the ones that really matter in this league. And that's kind of how I've always played it in this league. I've won it. Well, last year I had the best team, and I think I got knocked out in the second round, and then the year before I won. But I have some really strong running backs in that league, and then quarterbacks also that have high point per carry. So I know this isn't a quarterback show, but even in point per carry leagues, I love having the Jalen Hurtses, the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens, these guys who really have that those point per carry points. But yeah, running backs up here, you want those guys that are getting a lot of carries. So look here, Kyron's here at fifth because he missed some games, so he's not as high. But here's Mostert. Travis Etienne was healthy all year. He had a lot of rushes. Rashad White. There's Breece Hall, Joe Mixon. Derrick Henry had a lot of carries. Saquon, James Cook, Kamara, Gibbs, on and on and on. And you can see that's a pretty healthy dose above most of the wide receivers in this league.
Yeah, and so when you see a graph like this where you have running backs above the wide receivers by a decent margin, this is the kind of league
quarterbacks too.
And well above the quarterbacks, this is the kind of league where I am going to start advocating for putting a lot of value into those top tier running backs and staying away from those, I'll call them the not quite difference making wide receivers. Right. So your guys that are going to have a ton of value, your Puka Nacuas, your DJ Moores, your AJ Browns, your Michael Pittmans, like those guys that are going in rounds 2, 3, 4, like if a lot of the value in those wide receivers is the fact that they're young, but they still produce like wide receiver 6 through 18 pretty consistently. Yeah. I want to stay away from those kinds of wide receivers and instead invest that into the running back position. Because if we're comparing, okay, I wanted to have somebody better than Puka Nacua last year. Well, I could have done that with Brian Robinson or Kenneth Walker or DeAndre Swift or Isaiah Pacheco. All of those guys were better in terms of a total warp value on the season. And so you really want to slam into those guys, not only in rounds 2, 3, 4, where hopefully you can be getting yourself the Travis Etienne, the Christian McCaffrey, the Breece Hall, but also when you get into rounds 5, 6, 7, 8, you can get all those other running backs that have some stink on them. They're older, they aren't on as good offenses, but they're still producing really, really well. And right. And so we're going to see another a league a little bit later on where I did that strategy, and I'll tell you exactly how that went. But this is the kind of league where I would advocate for get yourself full up on those running backs. In the roster construction, it says you need 6.5. So get yourself 7 top tier, top 40 running backs that are just going to dominate, and then start backfilling your wide receiver position. Start on maybe in there you get yourself a quarterback. We see here we start to see that sharp decline on the quarterback position after quarterback 15. So all right, I want to try and get myself a guy in that maybe 7 through 15 range. And then I'll best ball my way with some backups, with some not as good quarterbacks to fill my second quarterback spot. But overall, I'm going to be trying to get all these running backs, fill them in into my running back positions, fill them into my flex positions, and yeah, really get them to slot right in and just have a dominant team from the running back spot.
Right. So like in a lot of our like team reviews we've talked about so far, or just in any leagues, mostly in general, you want to be filling these flex spots with wide receivers, it seems like, all the time. This type of league, I want to be filling all those flex spots with running backs. And so if it's start 3 receivers, I want to have probably 3 pretty decent receivers if I can. And start those guys weekly, and then my running back spots, you know, usually start 2, and then let's say you have 3 flexes, three or four flexes, I want to start running backs in all those flex spots in a league like this. So you definitely want to have as many of those types of guys you have, even the backup type. So here's one that I found. RB22 on the season was Gus Edwards at a 1.88. Right below him, Garrett Wilson, 1.632. Like the startup difference between those two is like 15 rounds, and Gus Edwards beat him last year. So that's kind of just showing you, if you get a running back like Gus Edwards, who basically falls into the starting job because of an early injury, if you get lucky like that, that guy could outproduce your opponent's Garrett Wilson. And if you look at that on paper, oh, Garrett Wilson's going to smash this guy every single week. Well, no, Gus Edwards probably beat him more times than not this year.
Mm-hmm. And also be willing to target some of those guys when you're here in the off season. Right now, who is the number one running back in Baltimore? Gus Edwards. Right. Like, as much as you might want to say J.K. Dobbins, he's going to be coming off an Achilles injury. Like, he probably won't be taking over that backfield, and we might see another year of Gus Edwards doing really well. And it's not like Gus Edwards was some world beater by any stretch. It's just he was out on the field, he was getting a bunch of carries, and he was kind of I'll call him the 1A on the offense, even though he was kind of used more like the number one running back. Just they just always had a Keaton Mitchell or a Julian or a Justice Hill in there to spell some carries, spell some.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Some catches, things like that.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and then just keeping drafting these running backs, especially with your second, third, fourth round pick, I still want to be hammering these running backs that are coming out in this draft too, and just keep compiling them. And, you know, who knows what happens? Maybe, you know, Blake Corum, you get Blake Corum in round two or something this year, and oh, he's the starter for the Chargers now, because Austin Eckler's gone and they don't have anybody else. You know, Blake Corum with your second round pick that you weren't expecting to really get much from, now he could be up here. He could have a Kyren Williams type season where, you know, Blake Corum is the guy. So I want to be taking as many of those running backs in these leagues, because if you're taking wide receivers in round 3, 4, 5 in these leagues, they're probably not going to be starting for you, at least not the way that I want a roster construct. So I want as many darts as I can at these running backs and see if they get you know, a spot start here or there because of an injury or whatnot. So in these leagues, point per carry league especially, I want to be just round 2, 3, 4, 5, I want to be hammering those running backs in the rookie classes too.
Yeah, for sure. And you want, the only thing you have to watch out for, because it is a lineup, is you don't want to wait too long to get yourself your wide receivers.
Right, yeah, that too.
So there is a little bit of a balancing game that you kind of need to play based on what your league market is and the dynamics of the other managers. If they are avoiding running backs like the plague, I would advocate for getting as many running backs as fill up your starting lineup. But then don't go overboard. Don't be like, oh man, they've already taken wide receiver 40 off the board, but they're leaving running back 20, and I've already got 7 of them. That's not going to help you out very much, because you still need to fill those starting lineup spots. And so you need to have some good enough players to be able to do that and not be taking zeros or 1-point games or things like that. Right. With a consistent basis.
And the difference between, like, say, wide receiver 12 here was Devontae Adams, 1.89, and you go over to wide receiver 36 was Drake London at 1.30. So that 0.5 difference, like, between 12 and 36, there's a lot of guys in between there. So it's not like, you know, it's such a massive difference between there. Like, I can be okay having my three receivers from 24 to 30 here. Like, I don't have to have, like, yes, it would be nice to have one of these guys up here that's, you know, doing 3.2 like CeeDee Lamb. But I think I can be okay with having like three of these guys in here, like Jordan Addison, Jacoby Myers, Rashee Rice, and then while still having these running backs up here in the higher ranges, the Breece Halls, Kyren Williams, Rashad White, stuff like that.
For sure. Yeah. And so. It's all of roster construction is always a balancing act. The whole point of roster construction is I cannot have the best guy at every single position. So who is the best guy at each position to have? And so just keep that in mind when you're looking at your leagues, that it's all relative.
Right. All right. Next league we're going to move to is one of your leagues that you wanted to talk about. So this is the South Harmon Dynasty Degenerates League. I'll let you go over the settings and all that for this one.
Yeah. So this one, it's almost the same as the last one that we looked at. In terms of what it's going to look like on the warp charts. So it is a 0.3 point per carry. It has a half point rushing for first downs. It also has a 0.25 receiving first down. And then there's also a 1.5 tight end bonus, which means it's a 2.5 points per tight end catch. And so you've got a decent amount of bonuses, but they're heavily weighted onto the running back position. Mm-hmm. And the last thing to know is that this is best ball.
Okay.
So unlike in a lineup league where we can easily rely on, okay, I can stash a bunch of these random like backup running backs and then plug them into my lineup when they're starting that week. In best ball, you don't want to have that. And especially with the extreme roster construction that I went to in this league. So when I initially drafted this league, we drafted in January of 2023. And I went with the crazy strategy of my first 9 picks were 8 running backs and 1 quarterback. And okay. And what that ended up getting me was my team has Bijan Robinson, it has Breece Hall, it has Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, Javonte Williams, James Conner, David Montgomery, Kenneth Walker. And wow. So I got all of those running backs to plug into my starting lineup. And because it's best ball, I know that I'm going to always have those good guys in there. If any of them fall flat, I ended up going over by a couple more spots over the course of the season. I also accumulated a Chuba Hubbard onto my team. And so those guys were going and filling my lineup spots. What I was able to do on the flip side is to completely best ball every other position on my team. So okay. My quarterback room was Geno Smith, Derek Carr, Sam Howell, Jake Browning, Joe Flacco. So going into the season, I had two guys, Geno Smith and Derek Carr. Everyone else I either traded for, picked up off of waivers, etc. And I was very aggressive with that. I spent a lot of fab getting the backup quarterbacks over the course of the season. I missed out on a couple guys that I wanted to get, but you can hear I got Jake Browning and Joe Flacco. It went pretty right. well for me over the course yep. of the year. I think I picked up Sam Howell in a trade somewhere, if I remember correctly. So as I'm going through the season, that's where I'm investing the fab because I know I just need bodies there. And then what I did at the wide receiver position and at the tight end position is I just overloaded like crazy. So when I first read off this wide receiver room, you're going to think this sounds like the worst wide receiver room ever. But I've got Amari Cooper is my number one. And then I have Michael Thomas, Adam Thielen, Zay Jones, Nelson Agholor. Brandon Johnson, DJ Montgomery, Bo Melton, Darnell Mooney, CJ Tillman, Kevontae Turpin, Devin Tompkins, Tim Jones, Jacoby Myers, Calvin Austin, John Mechie, and Michael Gallup. I just read off like 16 or 17 wide receivers there. Right. But because I had so many running backs, I only needed to fill the four starting wide receiver spots that I need in this league.
Right.
And so so having that many wide receivers, I talked earlier in this podcast about how the wide receiver position is volatile. And so when you're in a lineup league, you want to have the top tier guys because their volatility is going to spike really hard and the floor is going to be much higher. Well, in best ball, you can rely on the fact that the spikes from those wide receivers, even if they're really bad, are going to be in a decent range.
Right.
And so if you have 17 really, really crappy wide receivers, then you're able to just throw them all at the wall, and some of them are going to have a good week. So to give you an idea of that, I ended up winning the championship with this team, with those horrible wide receivers. And my team in the championship week that I won it was Bo Melton, Jacoby Myers, Adam Thielen, Brandon Johnson. All right.
Wow.
That was the wide receivers that week 17 won me a championship. But the way I made up for it was the fact that I had all those running backs. My last flex spot was Javonte Williams, who still put up 15.3 points for me.
Yeah.
And
so it's making up the difference.
The tight ends, I picked up Johnny Munt for week 17 because I was a big advocate for Josh Oliver was not going to get a ton of receptions in week 17. And sure enough, Johnny Munt ended up getting all those catches week 17. And he ended up being my tight end one for championship week. And I still had Noah Fant. I still had I had Steven Sullivan on my team. I had Chigga Conquo. I had Daniel Bellinger. And those guys, Noah Fant ended up being the one that filled the second tight end spot.
Okay.
But I had between that tight end room and that wide receiver room, outside of Amari Cooper and potentially Jacoby Myers, like there's nobody there on my team that you would even consider taking before like the 11th or 12th round of a startup.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
but I made this team work because I knew in best ball, hey, those guys are going to fill in, which right. forced me into I'm going to get a bunch of these running backs because running backs are consistent week over week. You know that when they're going to do well, when they aren't going to do well. And as the season went on, if I lost a running back, I traded him away and got a replacement.
Right.
And so that's something that when you're in a best ball league, when you have high running back warp, you have to be prepared to make those moves. And mm-hmm. they may not feel the best to be doing them at the time. They may, you may be like, man, I'm trading away a good future asset in order to just get some running back points right now. Like that just seems right. wrong. But that's what you have to do to try and win a championship in this kind of league.
Right. No, I mean, that's a great point because, you know, you lose a running back there for the season and you're going to probably have to trade him in a league like that because in a best ball league, he's just sitting on your roster collecting dust and a zero for you every week. That's taking away one potential person that you could have starting that could be a starter in your lineup if they score, you know, they have a big week or whatever. So that's a good point.
Yeah, and especially with my strategy of going to the extreme where I went super heavy into running back and everything else, I was kind of just playing throw a bunch of guys at the wall and enough of them are going to stick that'll be fine. I needed all those extra roster spots. I could not afford to have four injured running backs on my bench because that was...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Four wide receivers or tight ends that were not going to be able to make my lineup because they were filled by running backs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anything more on this league that you want to talk about before we look at our last one?
No, I think we can move on to the last one now.
Okay. All right. So this is going to be another MFL league of mine that I need to pull up. So it's going to take a second here. ID is 16810. So this is another fun league with like IDP, really crazy scoring and bonuses. It's got, I couldn't even tell you all the defensive bonuses, but like defensive tackle is like one of the top positions in the league. So for running backs though, in this league, it is 0.20 for each yard. And it's 2 PPR for the running backs. This is a start 35 league. It's like 90-man rosters with a 10-man taxi. So this is like a crazy league. But it's only 8 teams in your division. It's like a college football league where each team is a college team as their team name. Oh, I didn't click calculate warp. I need to do that. And then, you know, it's a full IDP. So you're starting like 5 safeties, 4 corners, 5 linebackers, 5 defensive ends every week, on top of all your offensive positions too. So I just kind of wanted to look at this one at what a crazier type of scoring league would look like with 2 PPR for running backs and 0.2 points per yard for running backs as well. So once this calculates, it might take a minute just because there's so many different options and settings for this league. So it might take a couple minutes for it to populate. But it's a really fun league that I got into a couple years ago. The draft was super fun because you're like just picking and picking and picking so fast because everybody, only 8 teams, so your team just looks absolutely loaded. The rookie drafts every year are really fun too because you're just getting guys, you know, some of these defensive players are going in the first round just because of the settings in these leagues. So like linebackers, defensive ends, you know, these stud defensive players that come into the league might pop up into there. So let's take a look at the running back warp here. Take away all these positions we don't need. So actually running back, you know, wide receiver is pretty king here with a lot of their bonuses. Obviously with a 2 PPR per catch, those wide receivers are going to be up there. But the running backs are even better than the quarterbacks in this league. So it's actually pretty crazy. McCaffrey, obviously, still way up there. Travis Etienne's up there. Breece Hall is 3. Rashad White's 4. Kamara 5. Raheem Mostert 6. We haven't seen Mostert down that far. So it kind of just shows you, you know, these guys that are getting a bunch of catches like Breece Hall, Etienne, McCaffrey, those are the guys that are king in this league at the running back spot.
Yeah, and what's interesting to look at in this league as well is what is the relative value. So you have Travis Etienne as your running back too, but then if you're trying to find the equivalent wide receiver, the equivalent wide receiver is George Pickens at wide receiver 25. So right. Before you've even gone, we know how hard it is to predict who's going to be the number one or like an RB1, like a top 6 running back year over year. We know next year it's probably going to be Christian McCaffrey if he stays healthy. And then everyone else, like a lot of people could give you 5 different names for who the next 5 most likely to be a top 6 running back are going to be.
Yeah, but absolutely.
We also we're pretty good at predicting, hey, these guys are going to be top 20 wide receivers year over year. Like, if you ask a bunch of people who's going to be top 20 wide receivers, you're probably only going to end up with 25 or 30 different names.
Right.
And every single one of those top 20 wide receivers is going to be better than the number two running back.
Yeah.
So we've talked about it plenty of times. Warp is all relative and giving you the relative values position to position. This is the kind of league where you punt running back extremely far. You go heavy into those defensive players that Eric was talking about. You go heavy into the wide receivers. Even in this league, you go heavy into the tight ends as well. And you go into all those other positions because the running backs don't mean that much. And right. So if you end up accidentally like, oh man, this week I've got I have one good running back and my other guy that I'm plugging in is somebody that I think is only going to get 5 carries on the week. It doesn't really hurt you that much. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to invest as many as much capital into the running back position. I don't want to invest as many roster construction spots into the running back position because I want to be focused much more on how can I get all of these other positions, and I just need to have a couple bodies in there at running back.
Right, and I threw the defensive tackles in here too. They are right on par with those wide receivers. So defensive tackle is like super, super, super important in this league. It is even higher warp per game at a 1.1 over the top receiver CD Lamb at 1.03. So that's just to kind of give that in the perspective. Even the defensive ends, look how high they are up here. It's like, I know I had Danielle Hunter on my team. I don't know if I had Josh Allen on my team. Michael Parsons is on my team. So I have 3 of the top, 10 defensive ends in the league on this team. So those guys were carrying me a lot this year with the defensive end. So just kind of looking at how it is relative to your league, what you should be valuing. Like, so if this is your startup, I want to be hitting these defensive ends, defensive tackles, wide receivers, before running backs and even quarterbacks. Like, I could be fine with just starting – Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield's down here while I'm drafting high, making sure I'm getting these stud receivers. Because I think he starts 7 wide receivers, so I want to get as many of those guys as I can. If I can sneak in a Christian McCaffrey because he's such a massive difference, then yes. But other than that, like, these running backs are all pretty much flat.
Yeah, and so if we look at the table, you can see the overall rank of any player. And I just sorted it, but where I'm only looking at running backs, Travis Etienne was the 141st best player in this league.
Wow.
There's 140 guys that were better than him over the course of the season. So looking at that, looking at like just how long it takes for running backs to be valuable. Like, if you were to redo this startup right now, like, I might not take a running back until round. This is an eight team league. So keep that in mind when I say this. But I might not take a running back. Think about taking a running back until round 20.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's so many other positions to get, and so many other guys that are going to actually make a difference to my team, that I need to just go through all of those positions and get those guys onto my team first before I even start thinking about, oh yeah, I need to fill that running back slot.
Yeah. I mean, quarterback and then running back, those are the two least valuable positions in this league.
Yeah. And I think that this is such a cool league to end on, just from the ridiculousness of it, of that. Right. The quarterback is the least by far. Running back is so far down that we're talking about, like, you get everything else first. Like, this is the kind of league where we're kind of like what I did in the previous league, where that best ball, where I went all running back and I got enough quarterbacks, and then I ignored wide receiver and tight end till the end. You can kind of do the same thing here, except for just ignore running back and quarterback till the end. Right. The only thing to watch out for is, like, oh, hey, at quarterback, I might not want to, like, completely box myself out, and I need to put somebody into my quarterback starting spot this week. So you don't want to, like, not have a starting quarterback.
Right, exactly. But if you guys haven't done so yet, make sure you go onto the SouthHarmonFF.com website, and you can sign up for this same exact warp tool that we're using right now. It's $690 per month or $69 for the year. You can sign up for that right now and start looking at your leagues. This is a good time to start doing it. Look at your leagues in the offseason and see, hey, where do I need to move my roster construction to in my leagues? And this tool is going to help you out tremendously in doing that. There's also the Mind Warp series that Adam and Scott Connor did. 25 hours of video that you can go through, and they teach you all about the warp tool, what you should be looking for, how to use it, how to use it for different settings and leagues and all that. 25 hours of content just there as well. You can get that along with your warp tool as well. So go ahead, SouthHarmonFF.com is the website, and you can go ahead and use that warp tool for any of your leagues. And right here, you got the mastermind behind it, Koopa, pretty much breaking it down for you on all these leagues that we went over today. So appreciate that, Koopa, quite a bit.
Yeah, and I want to add on one other thing as well. If you get the warp tool, I also, as part of that subscription, you also get access to the simulator that I have. And so I have the simulator updated now for the 2024 season. Yes, you might be like, how do you possibly know how guys are going to be doing in 2024? There are rankings out there. People are already saying these are the guys you want for the 2024 season. That's what's incorporated into that simulator. And that can help you get an idea of even now, right? We're looking at what is it, almost 2 months before the NFL draft, where you can know, am I in a mode where I could compete this upcoming season? And that can really help you figure out whether veterans are at their cheapest right now. The young players are at their most expensive, but maybe you have a team that is that is close to being able to compete, that you can make a couple moves that right now and get yourself into a really good position that nobody's going to really expect for another like 5 months.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask, I'm guessing you probably don't have it yet, maybe in the future, but is there a way to maybe.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We could import people's projections. So like Mike Clay always does projections, and you can kind of pop his projections in stat-wise, and that can kind of compute out a warp based off of those projections.
So I don't have that currently, and part of that is because of how warp in terms of predicting for future years is very difficult. Warp is heavily impacted by the number of players that are injured over the course of the season, that are injured on a weekly basis, things like that, and also the high variance. So I could take the projections from anybody and plug those in, and that's part of what the simulator does. Is the simulator goes through and it uses the Fantasy Pros expert consensus rankings.
Okay.
And it builds, okay, wide receiver one is this player, wide receiver two is this player, and wide receiver three is, and it matches all of those up. And but in terms of how the back end actually works, is it doesn't care who is number one or number two or number three. All it does is go, for this simulation, wide receiver one is going to score 25 points in week one. He's going to score 9 in week two. He's going to score 24 in week three and 8 in week four and 5 in week five. And then after it's done all of that simulation, then it goes, oh yeah, who was the wide receiver one again? Oh, it was Tyreek Hill. All right, so we're going to assign that all those points to the Tyreek Hill owner. And then it goes through it and does that again for wide receiver two and then three and then four, et cetera.
Gotcha.
Okay. And but if you try to calculate warp off of that, you get something that is so highly variant that looking at any individual player doesn't help you out. Right. I have gone to this in the past, and I've actually made some preliminary results. I did this about a year ago, and I found that it actually wasn't useful because either it was so highly variable that, like, oh, what's the reason that Tyreek Hill didn't show up on the warp chart at all? Oh, it's because my simulation had him getting injured week three, and then he didn't play the rest of the season. Gotcha. But then if I did the average over the course of the whole season, well, what happened? All it did was it just followed the expert ranks. And so gotcha. It was like there was no sense. Better using warp than just looking at the list.
Gotcha.
What warp is good for is looking at, okay, do I want wide receiver one compared to wanting running back one? Or do I want wide receiver one compared to quarterback one? Those sorts of decisions, that's what it helps you with. And then you're free to use whatever ranking you want. You can use Fantasy Pros ECR. You can use your own ranks. You can use Mike Clay's ranks. You can use any of the South Harmon ranks that you can do any. You can use anybody's that strikes you as I like their decision making, or if you don't like theirs, you use yours, and you just plug the names in. And so that's part of what I love about the warp tool is you're looking at, okay, I want as many guys that are in the wide receiver 12 to 24 range. It doesn't matter who is in the wide receiver 12 to 24 range. It doesn't matter whether your wide receiver 12 to 24 are the same as mine. But we both know we're playing the optimal strategy because we're both targeting the same types of player.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Perfect. All right. Well, that is going to be it for this one. Talked about the warp tool. You know where to get it, South Harmon FF. You ready to do America's favorite game, and then we'll get on out of here?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to have two for you this week. So the first one that I want to come up with a running back one. Who was, like, your favorite fantasy season from a running back, if you have
one? This goes back to my very first season playing fantasy football was 2007. It is always very easy for me to look that one up because all I remember is in the sixth round of my startup, this is a home family league, I was like, who do I want to get on my team? And I was looking at my team. I was like, I need to get a running back. I looked at the running back list and I went, oh, there's a rookie. It'd be fun to have a rookie on my team. And I clicked the draft button on Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
And so I ended up winning my very first fantasy league off of getting Adrian Peterson hit that rookie season way later than I probably should have. And
okay. That's a good one.
And so that Adrian Peterson, and so then year after that, I loved drafting Adrian Peterson because he was the guy that won me a championship, and then he helped me win many other championships after that too.
Right.
And so I will always think back to what's my favorite running back season. It's that Adrian Peterson rookie year in 2007.
Yep, that's a good one. I loved Adrian Peterson coming out. I wanted the Browns to take him, but obviously they took Joe Thomas, which worked out pretty good too. But speaking of that Peterson's first game as a rookie was in Cleveland, and he fucking tore us up for 100 and some yards, a couple touchdowns. My favorite RB season. So I think it kind of goes hand in hand with yours a little bit to where it's you're young, you're in your teens or whatever, so you're just like a big football fan. You don't really are so hardcore into fantasy, kind of like we are now. So the one year I had Priest Holmes on the Chiefs, that one year he went crazy. And I also had Travis Henry for the Bills. And he also had like double digit touchdowns that one year. And it was just crazy having both of those guys on my team every week. It was like Priest would get two or three touchdowns and Travis Henry would get two touchdowns. And those guys just kind of led me to the playoffs that year. So that one always comes up to me as one of the ones that I really, really remember. And then, kind of more recently, I didn't really have him, but I remember just people making such a huge profit off of it. It was the year that Adrian Peterson, speaking of another one that you kind of rung my bell on, it was the year he tore his ACL, and then he came back the next year. So he was like falling to like round two because everyone was scared of him. And that's where he went for, didn't he go for almost 2,000? I think he went over 2,000 yards and was going for the record or whatever. I think that might have been the year he set the rushing record for 296 against the Chargers that one year too. He was an absolute fucking beast that year. So yeah, there's a lot of good Adrian Peterson ones. Obviously LT had a big year. That was another one that comes to mind. Sean Alexander had a big year. That was another touchdown type of year. Who was the other one I was just thinking of? Larry Johnson for the Chiefs. That dude was like the workhorse of workhorses, like 400 carries, something crazy.
I had a couple years in there where I really loved having Maurice Jones-Drew on my team.
Yeah.
When he was down there with the Jaguars, even at that time, it was like, oh, the Jaguars, like you're going to get a bunch of Jaguars players. Like, that doesn't seem right. But no, Maurice Jones-Drew was still going out there putting up real solid numbers year after year.
Right. Marshall Faulk had a bunch of good years with the Rams there early on when I started playing. Larry Johnson only lasted a couple years. Most people don't even remember him or even talk about him, which is crazy. Another big one that I remember that kind of came out of nowhere was that one year of DeMarco Murray with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He went absolutely bonkers that one year. Devontae Freeman, that one came out of nowhere that couple years. So, yeah, that's just a couple of different ones that I could think of off the top of my head. But, yeah, definitely the Priest Holmes and Travis Henry one was one of my favorites when I was a kid for sure. And then our second America's Favorite Game, I know me and you both like racing, so let's do a Formula One question. Who is your favorite Formula One driver of all time or either currently?
So I got into Formula One kind of recently. Started watching it over COVID. So basically, it's 2020, that season, they were one of the first sports leagues to start back up. So I started watching it. I'd always been a racing person. I just had watched NASCAR mostly in the past. But I've really latched onto and really enjoyed watching Lando Norris's career. You have so many good drivers that are there and on good teams. And when I first started watching Lando, McLaren wasn't that good. Like 2020 was one of their years where they looked like they were starting to get back there, and then they regressed horribly. So I'm somebody, I always root for the underdog. As long as I don't have a specific like fan in the game. So if it's Ravens or 49ers, I'm going to root for the Ravens or the 49ers. Any other time, I am rooting for whichever team is not supposed to win. I want the upset to happen. I want the Cinderella story, all those sorts of things. And I started rooting for McLaren because I was like, man, I want McLaren to like come back into form and like be able to challenge the Mercedes and the Red Bull and the Ferrari. And Lando Norris was that young driver that I kind of grew attached to, and it just personality wise, and so I've kind of stuck with him as my favorite driver ever since.
Okay, this is probably before you got in it because it was pre-COVID. Remember Amazon Prime did the like all access football seasons before Hard Knocks started doing them this year, like the in season one. So like the Cowboys did one, the Cardinals, the Eagles did one. Remember those? They have, I forget what the hell it's called. I don't remember off the top of my head. They haven't done them in a while, but there's also a McLaren one on there from like their early days. So I think I want to say Alonso was still on the team, and I forget who the second, what the hell is his name? He races in Formula E now. Vanderfoot? I don't know. Something like that. He used to race in McLaren anyways. Yeah, he was only there for a couple seasons. But they did a an all access on the McLaren team then, kind of like how they would were building their engines and trying to get their stuff back up to snuff, because they were, you know, a back marker basically. It is crazy how Formula One is like, you know, teams are like, oh my god, I got ninth place, I got 10th place, and here's me and you like, yeah, ninth and 10th sucks, dude. But like in Formula One, like ninth and 10th place means the world to these guys to get points in the...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Fantasy or in their championships, they might not, you know, win the championship overall, but the difference between fourth place in the final standings and sixth place in the standings is like almost $6-8 million for these guys. So that's a lot of money for them to invest back into the car. So I've always found that interesting. So I've always been a racing fan my whole life. My dad was a big racing fan, IndyCar, NASCAR, Formula One, you name it. So since I was born, basically early, you know, late 80s, early 90s, I've always been a racing fan. So when I was young, in the early 90s, we'd always wake up at 5-6 in the morning to watch the Formula One races. Some of my first memories from that, like, Senna was still around, so I remember watching him. Michael Andretti came over to Formula One for one season. I think it was 91 to race. He was Senna's teammate, and so we were big IndyCar fans. Andretti, obviously one of the, you know, anonymous or big names in racing. So seeing him over there was great, and they kind of like, he's talked about in some podcasts and stuff that I've listened to, like how he just was kind of set up for failure there. And he, like, I think his like first couple races, he like crashed out on the first lap or first couple laps or something would happen. And he just never, was able to do anything. So I remember that early on. So that's what got me into Formula One was that. And then obviously still watching it. I was always a big Michael Schumacher fan, just because I'm a young kid and he's always fucking winning. So, you know, became a fan of his. I remember him and like the Damon Hill battles, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was him, those two going at it for championships. And then he went over to Ferrari, finished his career out there. And then he went to Mercedes later on. But then after that, I'd say after Schumacher kind of retired, I kind of fell out of it. And then a couple years later, I got back into it. And just kind of watching a really young Lewis Hamilton race. And I really liked Lewis Hamilton quite a bit. So that was another one. Still a fan of Lewis Hamilton, really like him a lot. But yeah, those are probably two of my favorites, Schumacher and Lewis Hamilton, probably two of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, so. The two of the guys that were able to go and actually win it seven times. Like,
right, exactly.
It's just insane to dominate a sport like that for that long, and be able to win the championship so many times. Right. And the thing I love about Formula One as well is how all the drivers, they're the top drivers in the world. And they're, you can tell that because the tendrils of Formula One branch out to all the other racing series. Right. So I'm a big fan of watching the World Endurance Championship. Of the guys that are on the top teams there, so many of them are ex-Formula One drivers. You look at IndyCar, they've got a few ex-Formula One drivers. You see Formula One drivers, they go into NASCAR, and when they go over to NASCAR, they're no slouches. They go and they're able to compete. And so many of those guys that end up going over to those other racing series and dominating are guys that flunked out of Formula One.
Yeah.
And it just gives you an appreciation for, like, wow, these drivers are really that good. That the guys who go in and all the Formula One fans say, oh, they aren't like they are not up to snuff. They can't hack it. Your Juan Pablo Montoya's, your even like Roman Grosjean, like he never really was that great in Formula One, and he goes over to IndyCar and he's just dominating there. Not like not necessarily on the ovals, but you see him on the
he hasn't won a race yet, but he's been doing pretty good. He's
consistently up there. Yeah. Like he's no slouch in IndyCar.
This will be his third team he's driving for this year, and this is like a lesser team that he's going to be driving for this year. So we'll see how he does. One that kind of how you were mentioning was Takuma Sato. He was a big, in Formula One there for a couple years, and then he spent the last decade in IndyCar, and he's got two Indy 500s under his belt that he's won. There's definitely not a lot of people in the world that could say they've won that race twice. And it's a very, very select few. So, those guys are all really good drivers. And then a lot of the Australian series too now. Scott McLaughlin, he's moved over to IndyCar now. He's one of the top drivers fighting for a championship every year. And then last year at NASCAR, very first race in a NASCAR with Shane Van Gisbergen comes in and wins the Chicago Street Race, his first freaking race. The car is very similar to what they drive over there. There's talent everywhere in all kinds of different series. And I'm sure, like you said, the Formula One branches out into all these spaces. And I'm sure IndyCar, NASCAR, same thing. Like there's definitely a lot of talent out there for sure.
Yeah. I love seeing drivers race other cars and seeing go to other series, compete. I was a big fan of when Jimmy Johnson moved over to IndyCar just to see him not in NASCAR, because he also in NASCAR he went and won, I think it was 7 straight championships for NASCAR.
He won 7 championships. It was, I think it was 6 straight.
Okay. It was like 6 and a gap and then the 7th or something like that. Yeah. But to see him go over to another series, he never did as good as in IndyCar as I was hoping he would do, unfortunately.
He was only good on the ovals, really. The road courses and street courses, he was terrible.
Yeah, I love seeing those drivers that go across series. It's part of why I love the World Endurance Championship and the IMSA Endurance Series. Both of those have, especially, it's so interesting seeing those ones as well, because they're multi-class racing. You don't just have the same type of car on track. You have cars that are way slower than other cars on the track, and they're when the fast car is coming up on the slow car, they do a little dance with each other so the slow car can let the fast car by, because if they're blocking the fast car, they're slowing themselves down doing it too. So it's like mutually beneficial for them to let the fast car go by the slower car, because they're in different, totally different races, just on the same track at the same time. And I love seeing all of that, the balance between like the skill of different drivers. Most of the endurance series have the different driver classification levels. You've got your gold drivers, your silver drivers, your bronze drivers, and you can only have so many of each type of driver on your team. And I love watching all of that stuff. You recognize some names and you're like, oh, that guy was racing in this other series last year, or like, some of the guys in the endurance series race in other series when it's not the endurance racing weekends. And so you're watching something else. You're like, oh, I recognize that guy. He drives in this car in this other series. And like, you start to realize, like, as large as the sport might seem, it's actually, it's one of those things where it's much smaller. Like the number of people that bounce around between everything, like it's really cool to see and just get familiar with, oh, who are all these people? Like, what makes them good? What do they like, what are their styles? And you've got all sorts of different things where just this past weekend, Kevin Estra, who I associate with driving GT cars, won the hypercar race at the World Endurance in in Qatar. But I know him as, he's really good in GT cars, and he's known as the king of the Nürburgring. They don't race hypercars at the Nürburgring. That is all GTs. And it's just cool to see people jump between all these, you call them different sports, but they're so similar. It's like, it's almost like if there were equivalent NFL and the CFL and the XFL, like if they were all huge all right. leagues, and then you just see guys like, oh, this guy was in the NFL last year, he's in the CFL this year, and man, he's able to do both. And it's that sort of thing that's just really cool to watch.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. Well, that is going to be it for this week, guys. We'll be back next week with Christian. We're going to talk some of these running back prospects after the combine and kind of go over our rankings and talk about some of those prospects. So look forward to that next week. Appreciate having you on, Koopa. It's at Dynasty Koopa, right?
That is correct. At Dynasty Koopa on X.
Yep, follow him there. If you're in the Discords, it's Koopa Troopa 8. Or they're changing their names every day. You guys are changing your names every day.
We're changing our names. I think my name right now is Warp Guy. So, you know, pretty easily to figure it out who I am.
Yep, so he's on there. At Eric Vanek NFL is mine on X. And then at America's Game Pod as well on there. Follow the South Harmon account at South Harmon FF. On X and YouTube. We can use all the likes and all that. Make sure you guys, you know, on any of your podcast forums, give us a 5-star rating, leave a comment, review. That stuff all helps us out too, so I would appreciate that. But yep, thank you again, Koopa. Appreciate it, man. We'll see you here next month when we go over some wide receivers and tight end warp. That should be interesting as well. Kind of similar to this, kind of just depends on the setting, so that'll be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of touched on it a little bit here, but then the focus will be on those positions, and maybe we'll be touching on the quarterbacks and running backs, because, as I said, warp, it's all relative.
It's all relative, yep, exactly. So, all right, guys, I appreciate you chiming in for this one. We'll see you next week.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.